All right, let's go back over some of what we already know. The two most consistent things are what? Time and change. The only way to manage them is what? Through planning. So planning protects your life from depression. Did you know that? People are depressed because they don't plan it correctly or they don't plan anything. It's terrible to get up in the morning and you don't know what you got to do for the day. Even if it's one of your days where you really don't have scheduled things, you need to plan something for that day. If it's no more than I'm going to plan to sit in my recliner and I'm going to enjoy some good teaching or some good music and I'm just going to relax and stay in the presence of the Lord. That's what I do today, Lord. That's my plan. See, if you don't plan for it, it doesn't happen. Now, for those who say, well, I need guidance in planning. Look at your neighbor and say, Pastor Diana is giving you guidance right now. So listen. You can't have a plan B unless there is a plan A. And you can't have a, there would be no plan A if there was no plan. Turn to Proverbs 20. You know, you hear people say all the time, I'm going to plan B. Well, where's the plan A? Because why didn't plan A work? It must not have been a plan. Might have been something else, but it might not have been a plan. Okay, look at Proverbs chapter 20. Let's look at verse 18. When you have it, say, I have it. Every purpose, well, let's just eliminate the word every. Purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice, make war. So it says in verse 18, it telling us, see, the book of Proverbs is a book of planning. Now, you got to understand something about Proverbs. It looked like they jumped from subject to subject. You know why? Because it's giving us instructions. It's giving us wisdom from day-to-day living. So you can't look at it and say, okay, now they're talking about the heart. Then they go talking about this. Why are they talking about that all in the same chapter? Because these are wisdom nuggets designed to help you to plan your life. So the book of Proverbs is a book of planning. You need to know how to live your life. Go to the book of Proverbs. It gives us instruction how to conduct the affairs of our lives. What to do and what not to do. See, it's already written. God gave us his plan. We just don't know it. It's already written. We're scrambling for things that God has already written and told us was already done for us. So if we plan according to the word, our lives will become a living testimony of planning correctly. Your life, and you know, I don't care where you're starting. Everybody has a starting point in their planning system. And yours may not look like mine, and mine may not look like yours, but everybody has a starting point. Which means that there's a destination, because I'm planning to be better than I am today. So don't look at me and judge me, because today is not my finality. Because I'm planning to be better. Woo, Jesus. This is why you can't put a finality on people's lives, because you see them acting real ugly today. And this is something my husband used to say, because, you know, when I was younger, got to put the ER on it to make it right. When I was younger, you know, we would go out, and, you know, the ladies be talking, you know. And see, I was very, my claws would come out. I put it like that. My claws would come out. And he said, he would look at me, he said, girl, don't pick no fight. That was his word to me. And I just look at him and smile. So I'm saying to you, never pick a fight you can't win. Unless you plan, say plan. How are you going to win before you fight? See, you got to have a strategy. Never get into a fight. Never let nobody bully you into a fight until you got a strategy. How you plan on whipping their tail? It's dumb. Because you're fighting out of your emotions and you lose. But if you come up with a strategy, man, I can remember the day. Y'all know my straight pin story. See, I had a strategy. If I had moved out, see, I was the new kid in the school. My daughter said, tell it. I was the new kid in the school. And the office at that time was assigned your lockers, you know, to where, and this girl wanted to fight me just because the office assigned my locker next to her boyfriend's locker. I didn't know him from anybody. She wanted to fight me just because I was next door to his locker. And I'm going like, really? She didn't know if I could fight? That's dumb. See, she's picking a fight with somebody she don't know anything about yet. Says she know my name now. But anyway, ultimately, so you know what I did? I said, you know what she said? Friday, we going to fight. Now, this Monday, Friday, we going to fight. And I'm going like, she's a dummy because she don't know if I grew up in the hood. We know how to get back. I said, she been trying to, see, they call her doll baby. You've been doll babying too long. Somebody been fooling you, thinking you all dead in a bag of chips. But anyway, she became a human pin cushion. So anyway, I did it so quick and so swift, she didn't know what happened to her. Never hit her with my hand. Got to have a strategy. And I had pins. You know, it was girls' gym week, so I kept my gym suit on, had my little skirt. My skirt was lined with pins. My pocket on my gym suit had straight pins, so I could reach anywhere and pull a straight pin. I had a strategy. But see, that's what we do. We pick fights with the devil with no plan to win. That's what you do when you start praying with no plan. You're picking a fight with no strategy to win. Now let's talk about the power of initiating change. You need to understand today if you are proactive or reactive. So to react means that something has already happened and now you are trying to respond to it, but it's too late. Remember the song, "Well, It's Too Late, Baby." Some of y'all old enough to remember. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. But there was a song that said, "It's too late." Why was it too late? Because you moved. You were reacting instead of initiating. The church, by and large, has been a reactive entity in society. We respond to what has already happened. Woo. A research was done a few years ago, and I was... I'm not surprised, but I was kind of appalled. A few years ago, a research was done on how far behind the church was from the progress in society. Are you ready for this? And based on the study, they concluded that the church is usually 30 to 40 years behind the world. You said that's not true today. Okay. This means that by the time the church accepted radio as being okay, it was too late. The world controlled it. When television first came out, the church called it demonic. I can remember hearing as a child, pastors called the television the green-eyed monster. And so by the time the church accepted the TV, the world was controlling it. When the internet came out, again, the church said it was of the devil. And by the time the church figured it out, and some still are trying to figure it out, it was too late. The world is in control of it. So we are reacting. when these ideas should have come through a Christian. But God couldn't get the church to wake up and initiate. Because God is constantly trying to get new things into the earth for the church's benefit. Now, there are some men and women of God that God is using in this final hour that are changing the schematic of how the church looks in the earth. But look at all the years we've had with all this downtime. I call it downtime. Where we could have progressed so much further as the body. And this script would have been flipped and we'd have been out of here sooner. Ooh, Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm coming up to date. See, and the problem has not been just the people sitting in the pews. It starts in the pulpit. This is why some people can't stay here because we're on the cutting edge. We teach what you need to hear today. And a lot of the pulpits have been teaching feel-good sermons. Emotionalism. They get you stirred up. But nothing that'll make you go out and be a conqueror. It'll cause you to be more committed to what you're already doing. That's nothing. So these feel-good messages has held the church in a reacting position instead of being proactive. God did not place the management of the world systems and the earth into the hands of sinners, but he gave it into the hands of his church. That's where it's always been in the mind of God. Amen? Now keep in mind that we are part of a kingdom that has a king who is interested in real estate. You got to understand, God is interested in real estate. He's still expanding universes. He's still building. He expects us to take dominion over this earth. How you going to help him create a universe and you can't take dominion of your community? See, you're thinking short. You're not thinking long range. You're looking at just today. Jesus knew, this is something you got to understand about Jesus. Jesus knew that if we went into the world systems and dominated the world systems, winning people would be easy. Ooh, Jesus. The church, by our not planning to dominate through these systems of the world, we made our assignment to win people harder than it should be. Because we are not in the head yet. It's harder to persuade people when you broke, when you sick, when you got marital problems all the time. How you gonna persuade them? See, we were supposed to dominate. How you gonna persuade that person in sports to be a Christian when you looking just like them? You drinking and sipping and dipping on the side. You got your little boo on the side. You gotta stand out and be different. Blending is not accepted in the kingdom of God. So the world has to see the church leading before it'll follow. Ooh, Jesus. We have to lead them and convince them that the way of the kingdom is right. And you can only do that with influence. So you must plan to be influential. It's on purpose. I'm influencing people on purpose. When I go into places, I influence people on purpose. I recently went somewhere and had lunch with some of my sisters and the lady there. She's trying to be the chef and the waitress and all that kind of stuff, burning the food. It was so, but the food was just trash. It was just trash. But you know what I did? This wasn't even my occasion. We were celebrating one of my sister's birthday. But it wasn't my occasion. But I said, you know what? Lord, if the building closed down, that's not my fault, because they should close the restaurant in my estimation. But that's how bad the food was. It used to be really a good place to go and eat. But the food is so trash in there, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. But I'm not going to call the name out because you might like it. But everybody got their own taste. When you're used to eating food, you don't like cardboard. Okay. Anyway, I gave her a tip, and I could see her eyes going like, she was blinking her eyes as if to say, I know this food ain't hitting no nothing. Are you going to tip me anyway? She apologizing for the food being so bad. She already knew the food was, and she the chef. But you know what? Now, I hadn't been in that restaurant in quite a while. But when I walked in the door, say influence, because there was a place my husband and I used to go frequently and eat lunch. And she knew what kind of tippers we were. I believe that's why she came from the back and waited on our table. Because she knew. Say influence. See, we influenced her with our tips. Everybody that waited on us in that restaurant, they knew they were going to get a good tip. Influence. It was on purpose. Because when we went out to eat, we planned to tip good. I told you that. Don't go out to eat and you don't prepare a tip. Leave that $2 in your pocket and eat your dinner at home. Go prepare to tip people. Amen. That's just a freebie for you. But see, if you don't have a plan to do something for somebody else, God can't plan for somebody to do something for you. So we have to lead by example. This is why God has got us on this saving thing, because he wants to show and manifest to this church his power to bring us out of debt. Because this is our year of coming out of debt. And I mean staying out of debt. Now here's another freebie. If you're interested in buying a house, never buy a house at the maximum of your income. Why? It's going to challenge your tithing and giving. See, my husband and I had to learn that the hard way when our first two houses. But when we got a hold of tithing and giving correctly, we never bought a house that made us max out our income. Because we were going to never let the world challenge tithing and giving. So that was a plan. And guess what? In honoring the tithe and giving, God always gave us houses better than what we thought we qualified for. He never failed us. He always gave us houses better than what we thought we qualified for. We ought to be proactive where we initiate change in our society. Now, let's talk about the change option. Say change option. Remember that the one thing that is guaranteed in life is what? Change. You cannot stop it, and you cannot avoid change. Now, where does the option come into place? If you decide, say, I decide to be a victim of change, then you can decide to become an agent of change. See, that's your option. You can decide to be a victim or you can decide to be an agent. Which one you want to be? You can decide that you will wait until something happens and then suffer the consequences and go through undue stuff that you don't have to go through. Or you can step out and determine what happens to you. Say, right now, I am determining the change in my life. Listen, we the people of God cannot afford to keep waiting on something else to happen. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. This is something, you know, because sometimes, you know, when you're not sure about things and you want things to be a certain way or whatever, you got to go to the Word and find out what you need to plan for your life. You got to go to the Word because it'll give you instructions. And even if it doesn't say specifically what you should be doing, it's going to give you what you need to know, how to engage it. Deuteronomy 1, verse 6. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Say, you've been there long enough. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the high places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land, which the Lord sware to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. So what he tell them to do? He said, go in and possess. That means they had to get up. Listen. There are four kinds of people, four groups of people. First, there are the people who watch things happen. Then group number two, these are the people who let things happen. Group number three, they're the group of people that ask, what happened? And number four, then there's this fourth group that make things happen. And God was telling them, you've been grieving long enough over Moses. Get your hips up. He says, go in every part. He told them, not just the hills. He told them to go in the plain, go in the vale, go in the south. He says, go into the systems. Do something. Get up and initiate that business that you've been laying down on. Get up. Write that book. Write that song. Get in there. Do something. Initiate. It's in you. He told him, said, you've been in the same spot too long. Crying over somebody that ain't coming back. Moses was not coming back for them and nobody else. And the word of the Lord said, get up. Change your position. And initiate change. Because if you stay in this spot too long, if I come back in 10 years and you're still in the same spot, that means you didn't have a plan to get out. And complaining keeps you in it. Whoever initiate change will be in control of how and where you will end up. Agents of change initiate the changes they desire. If you do not decide what happens, somebody else, remember I told you last Sunday, there's no gaps. Somebody's going to feel what you won't feel. Look at Proverbs 6. Somebody's going to feel that gap that you think is just sitting there waiting on you. No, somebody's going to come and fill it with something, and they're going to orchestrate your life. Proverbs 6, look at verse 6. Yeah, I like this. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways. Now, I didn't call you a slug. The Bible did. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, no overseer or ruler, provided her meat in the summer and gathered her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. He says, sitting in the same spot, he says, go to the ant, look at the ant. Listen, this means if you don't decide what is going to happen to your own land, someone else will. And all the wealth and resources that's in you, you're going to spend your whole life giving it to somebody else, making them rich. How many of you working for companies that are rich? Are they splitting their wealth with you? No, they're doling out a salary. And you letting it happen. Because you plan on being on salary till you get 65. Then you're going on Social Security. That's your plan. But what about God? Where does God fit in there? God don't want you limited to Social Security. It's too much wealth in you. You're not too old. There's something in you that you can still create wealth. Oh, Jesus. Some of you have skills that you have used to build someone else's dynasty for their family, yet you won't use that same skill to build your own legacy. You would rather someone else be responsible for your life. So an agent of change is one who initiates change and not one who is always reacting to change. Listen, when there's a lack of vision or a plan for the future that can be followed by your whole family to expand, to be better, to do something great for the kingdom, to be healthy, to be debt-free, you are reacting, not being proactive. You are surrendering your position of management by planning nothing to someone else. This is dangerous. Why? Because the person making the decision for you knows nothing about you. They make decisions that impact you without them knowing or caring about what you are dealing with in your day-to-day life. They only have their agenda. And we go to places where we work every day with this kind of mindset, and we still don't plan differently. I'm trying to wake you up. If I shake you a little bit, shake, baby, shake. Usually, say usually, the person or people who are making the decisions about you don't even live in your state. So you can't even communicate with them. You know they don't know nothing about what you're dealing with. They got a money on their mind, and they're looking at profit margin. And that's all they see. And the guy they sift all the things down to, your supervisor or your manager, that's all they are. They can't change nothing about you. They can't change your wages. They can tell you what a good person you are, or you're such a good loyal worker. But they can't change nothing about your life because they're just managing for somebody else. And their job is to keep you committed to what their boss wants. You better hear what I'm saying this morning. And we live like that and never get up and plan. Where are we going to go in life? The mission of the church started with the command to initiate change. Look at Mark 16. I know. But we got to hear messages like this because it's time for the church to rise up. If we're gonna flip this script, we got to get up. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, who's doing the talking? Jesus doing the talking. All right. Go. You need to highlight go. Go. You into all the world. Into what? Oh. Go into all the systems and do what? Preach the gospel. Oh. So the gospel should be my purpose for being in my job. He gave you your purpose. For doing every time you go into the world system, this is your purpose. So it began with the word go. Say it loud.
Go.
Say it again.
Go.
One more time.
Go.
Go. Why? He says move from one place to another. He says get out of that rut of just sitting there thinking, I'm going to work here till I get old. He says go you into all the world system. Go in there, but do impact. Impact. Somebody say impact. Impact that place. Don't let them bring you to their level because they're living on a lower life. Bring them to your God because you are present. Woo. Don't let them get the idea that you accept their values, their morals, their standards. And it might come with a little persecution, but when they need somebody to pray, that their money can't change, that they can't do without, you'll be the standard. Mm. This means don't wait for someone to call you. Don't wait for an invitation. Don't wait for someone else to motivate you. If Jesus said go, this means you personally motivate yourself and become active, not reactive. Go means I start things. Ooh, Jesus. Mm. When I looked up the word, the definition for go, one of the definitions is to set in motion or establish especially a program or a system. I'm going like, huh. No wonder Jesus used the word go. He told us where to go. This is where many of the church fail. Many in the church fail. We are waiting on the local church to initiate a program. Instead, you coming to me saying, Pastor, I've been going to the nursing home for the last 2 months, and I'm getting good results from the people. Now, the church can help support you. Okay. Last year in November, how many of y'all remember November? We asked you to write down things you would like to see happen in your church. I'm coming where you're living today. Now, I ain't mad with you, but you got to see something. Then put it in the suggestion box. We received 2 suggestions. Now, as your pastor, what does that tell me? I could have chose to believe you're just not interested. But I won't believe that one, that you just don't care. Maybe you thought that your idea doesn't matter. Now, we gave you a whole month to write down your suggestion, and it had purpose. I said, don't come to me and tell me. Write it down. Why? So when we went into fasting and prayer in January, the beginning of the year, I could take your ideas in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit, if any of your ideas could be executed now or later or never. We're planning for 2023. Oh, but that's on me, right? That's on me, right? Apparently, y'all think so. Okay, I'm going to bring it where you live real close. Most insurance plans at what is known as open season. You have usually 30, some 60 days to change your plan or keep what you already have. Now, if you wait until the time frame to respond is over, by default, you keep the same plan. Now, if the premium goes up and you want to react to the rise in costs, but when you had the option to change, you took your time changing. Then when you try to holler, it's too late. Now you got to wait for what? Open season again. That's what? 12 months away. Praise God that I can hear by the Spirit of God as to what to do. However, what new? Say what new? What new thing might be delayed because you didn't initiate a suggestion? Jesus said, go. What are you waiting on? You could start a senior citizen text ministry where every morning you get up and, you know, you call, you get at least people 55 and over, and you could send a Bible verse. See, there's no excuse for not doing something. If we don't go, then the world will determine how the elderly are treated, what kind of music we will sing, what style of clothes we wear, what hairstyles would be popular, what is taught in our schools, because we are not initiating. we are reacting. Jesus said for us to go into every system and start a business that the world will have to come to us. Then he said, infiltrate those systems and make earth look like heaven. That's what we're designed to do. Because we're in the earth to make a difference. I'm getting ready to close. Dr. Dale and I have been winning people to the Lord. You know, we were living out in an area at that time. I won't even call the area. But we opened up our home to the sick, the lost, the oppressed. We were not trying to be in ministry. We were not trying to be pastors. There were times when we didn't have enough food to eat. Didn't even know if the light was going to be on by that Friday night or if the water might be turned off before the people got there. You didn't know. But that didn't discourage us. We kept right on opening our door. See, y'all got too many excuses. You got running water. You got a nice place. You got a car. You got everything you need, and you still won't minister. We didn't even know we had food to feed our children. There were times when we only had a 50-pound bag of white potatoes that we had to eat off for a whole month. But that didn't stop us from praying for people. Oh, Jesus. We invited people to our house to pray with them. We would share a few scriptures to help build their faith. And just looking at the circumstance, see, God sent people that you can handle. You better hear me. But if you don't handle them, how are you going to move to the next level up? Because you're not going to be able to influence the next level when you're not influencing those on where you are right now. And we were not looking or asking to become pastors. Then our home, every Friday night, was being filled with people getting healed, delivered, and born again. And looked like all of a sudden things were just starting to shape up. The light started staying on. The water started turning. We weren't even paying attention to it. These things were happening because we were doing what we were supposed to do according to Mark 16:15. We shared with our pastor, Pastor Phil Privet, what we were doing. He thought it was wonderful. Then the Lord told my husband to start sharing what we were learning right in our church. We didn't have to come up with a new message. We were sharing what we were learning every Sunday and Wednesday. We started sharing what we were learning. All the while, we were sending people to our church. You know, because we weren't trying to be pastor. We were telling them, look, this is where you need to become a member. Some people said they were not willing to drive that distance. But then, okay, we found churches that were closer in their proximity that we knew that were good word churches. Because we know they needed to be in a church and attached to a local assembly. From that outreach, God chose us to go into the pastoral ministry. Had we not obeyed, even when it looked like we shouldn't have been doing anything, because our situation probably was far worse than yours. Ah, Jesus. It was hot in the summer, cold in the winter. There would be no Rapture Worship Center. You may have never known Jesus. Some of you may have never come to Jesus. And some of you may have never heard the truth. You might still be in a religious environment. Had there been no Rapture Worship Center, but had we not obeyed God in the hard place, we would not be here today. Everybody got a starting place. So waiting makes you a victim. Hoping only makes you a prisoner. One thing I want to leave with you this morning in this service, and that is, if it's going to be, it's up to me. You need to say that. If it's going to be, it's up to me. Say, I don't need a license. I don't need a title. I don't need extra schooling. I just need to get up and go. Did you learn anything this morning? Come on, stand to your feet.